Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning to those that are watching online. It's great to be here this morning. We're doing a series on powerful prayers, and today I want to look at several prayers of Nehemiah. So just before I start speaking, I'll just pray. Father God, thank you that we can talk to you in prayer. We can come and share the things that are on our minds, on our hearts, the things that are happening in our lives. We can come and talk to you about that and know that you understand, that you can give us wisdom in the decisions that we make. And thank you so much that you want to bless our lives. Speak to us now as we read these verses from the Bible to learn about you. Amen. So just before I start talking about Nehemiah, because he's probably not that well known, Nehemiah's in the Old Testament, and some of you might have not even heard his name before. So I want to just give you a little bit of background to Nehemiah so that we can understand why he prayed the prayers that he prayed. But I want to start by going way back to the book of Deuteronomy, which is in the beginning of the Old Testament. And in chapter 28, Moses tells the people of Israel of the promises of God for them. And firstly, that God would bless them if they remain faithful by obeying his command. And secondly, that God would curse them if they did not remain faithful to obeying his commands. So let's just read where God speaks about that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. And this is what we read. This is Moses speaking about what God has said for his people Israel. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all the blessings if you obey the Lord your God. So in the following verses going on from verse 2, from verses 3 through to verse 13, Moses shares the blessings that the people will experience if they fully obey God's commands. And we're not going to read all of those blessings, but if you do take the time to read them, that you'll find that they are both amazing and wonderful blessings. Then in verses 14 through to 68 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses lists the curses that will happen to them if they choose to disobey God's command. And the curses are extensive and they are awful. Moses says that God will use other nations to carry out many of these curses. And I just want to read a couple of verses to you, verses 36 and 37. The Lord will exile you and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There in exile you will worship gods of wood and stone. You will become an object of horror, ridicule and mockery among the nations to which the Lord sends you. So it's interesting to note that there are 10 verses that tell us how God will bless his people if they obey him. But there are 54 verses that tell us what curses God will bring upon them if they continue to disobey his commands. As you read through the Old Testament, you will see that God is true to his promises. You read of times where the blessings of God are poured out on his people when they obey him. You also read of times where the people of Israel are taken into captivity by their enemies because of their disobedience, where they suffer under the curses that God has promised. And it's during one of those periods of exile that we come across a man named Nehemiah. The events occur after the nation of Israel has been split into two groups, if you remember that occasion. So in 722 BC, because of their disobedience, God uses the Assyrian army to take the 10 northern tribes of Israel into captivity, where they are exiled over the then known world. In 605 to 586 BC, because of their disobedience, God used the Babylonian army to take the tribes of Judah into exile. The city of Jerusalem is destroyed, and many people are carried to captivity in Babylon. It is during the period of captivity that we read about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah, young Jewish captives. Excuse me, I just need to blow my nose. It was not uncommon for the finest and brightest of the young Israelite captives to be taught in the language and culture of their captors, to serve in the palace of the king. And you might remember in Daniel chapter 5, we have the young man Daniel explaining to King Belshazzar the meaning of the hand writing on the wall. The fulfillment of that prophecy from God was that the Babylonians were overtaken by the Medes and the Persians in 539 BC. So the Israelites remain in captivity, but they're now under the control of the Persian Empire. We remember that God had promised that if his people returned to obeying his commands, he would bring them back into their promised land of Israel. We read that God uses the Persian king Cyrus to start the return of the Jewish people back to their homeland of Israel. And so there's three specific times that significant groups of Jews from Babylon to Israel. The first is led by Zerubbabel and Joshua in 539 BC. Specifically, they return to build the temple. The second return is led by Ezra in 548 BC. And then there's the third group that is led by Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around the temple of the city of Jerusalem in 445 BC. And it's really interesting. Remember the story of Esther, where she became the wife of the king? The story of Esther sits between the first and second return of the Jews to Israel at 483 to 473 BC. And that was when Haman had attempted to kill all of the remaining Jews living in Persia at that time. So that's quite a big background, but that brings us to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of the young Jewish men that have been trained and given a role in the king's palace. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, Nehemiah records that it's the 20th year of the reign of King Artaxerxes, and that he, Nehemiah, is serving the king his wine. Nehemiah writes down his memoirs, which are recorded as a book in the Old Testament of the Bible, and not surprisingly, it's called Nehemiah. So we go to the first prayer that we're going to look at Nehemiah. So in chapter 1, Nehemiah's brother Hanani and other Jewish men visit Nehemiah from Jerusalem. So there are some of the ones that have returned before, and they come back and they talk to their brother and friend Nehemiah. Nehemiah asks, how are things going for the Jews in Jerusalem? And they tell him that things are not well. Their main concern is that the wall of the city has been torn down and the gates have been burned. The temple has been rebuilt, but there is no protection for the temple or the city. The people are vulnerable. They are open to abuse. God's temple and the city of Jerusalem do not have the honour that is due. So in verse 4, we read the response of Nehemiah. So we've got that verse up there. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah is devastated about the situation. The news causes him to weep, to mourn, fast, and to pray. I'm sure that Nehemiah prays many times during the days of mourning and fasting. And in verses 5 to 11, we have the first prayer that Nehemiah records. And this is what it says. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are faithful to me, I will scatter you. If you are unfaithful this time to me, I will scatter you among the nations that you gave us through your... Sorry, I've lost my place there. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah gets right to the heart of the issue in the first sentence of his prayer. There are many reasons why God is great and awesome, but Nehemiah declares God is great and awesome because he keeps his promise of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. I find it interesting that Nehemiah gives two actions required of the people of God to keep his promise. He says, to those who love him and obey his command. So what did Moses say about loving God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 6? Moses said this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. That reads to me like Moses is giving a command about loving God. So why has Nehemiah been specific in his prayer to separate out the command to love God from obeying his commands? Wouldn't obeying God's command just include loving God? I think Nehemiah understood that obeying God's commands had to start with loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The ability to obey God's commands rightly relied on a right love of God. Nehemiah knew that sin followed and that God's commands were disobeyed when the people did not love God as they should. After Nehemiah confesses his sin and the sins of the people, he requests God to listen to his prayer, for God to remember his promise to the people he gave through Moses. Nehemiah ends his prayer asking God to make the king favorable to him. Nehemiah asks, put it in his heart to be kind to me. This is interesting, as at this point we have no recorded thoughts of what Nehemiah was planning. But Nehemiah knew that he needed the king to show kindness and to be favourable to him. And then I want to bring you to the second prayer of Nehemiah, and that's found in chapter 2. Although Nehemiah had built a special relationship with King Artaxerxes, testing his wine. Now, I guess you're all familiar with the role of a cupbearer. So to make sure the king wasn't poisoned by drink or food, someone would test his food before it was given to him. So Nehemiah's role was to drink a little bit of the wine from the cup that was being given to the king. If he fell over and died, well, they knew it had been poisoned. So that was his job. So he had a real rapport with the king. The king had the power, but that relationship was a little bit tenuous. The king had the power to take anyone's life at any time for any reason. Nehemiah wants God to make the king's heart favourable to his requests and cause the king to be kind to him. The second prayer of Nehemiah is found in chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, and I'm going to read those to you. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, "If it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I love that we don't have any words recorded of what Nehemiah prayed. I like to think about how short his prayer was. There is not much time between the question of the king and Nehemiah's response. I'm pretty certain that it would have been a silent prayer. What we do know is that his prayer is very powerful. Before the prayer, Nehemiah was terrified as he responded to the king. After the prayer, Nehemiah had confidence to ask the king for what he wanted. As we read further down the chapter, we see that Nehemiah made two further requests to the king. Nehemiah requested letters from the king addressed to the governors of the provinces that he needed to travel through, instructing them to give him safe travel through their territories. Then Nehemiah requested a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to provide timber for the gates in the city wall and to build a house for himself. There is a beautiful and powerful statement made by Nehemiah at the end of verse 8, where Nehemiah says, "And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me." Isn't that great what he says? "The king granted my request, these requests, because the gracious hand of God was on me." Nehemiah knew that the response of the king was due to the graciousness of God towards him. I love also the second part of verse 9. Nehemiah is giving a letter to one of the governors west of the Euphrates River for safe travel when he records, almost as if an afterthought, he says, "The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me." God had moved the heart of the king to give Nehemiah much more than Nehemiah had requested. This allowed Nehemiah to travel to Jerusalem to start and to complete the rebuilding of the city walls. And I just want to end off by just looking at what are the some of the takeaways that we could have from Nehemiah's prayer. And I want to say firstly, and I've got a list there if you bring that up, Aaron, that'd be great. Nehemiah was serious, genuine and persistent in his prayer. He wept, he mourned, he fasted as he came before God in prayer. So I have a question for you. What moves you to pray? What moves me to pray? Do we put time and energy into our prayers? The second thing, Nehemiah believed that God would answer because God would be true to his promises. So he is very specific with the prayers he prayed and the requests that he made. Do we expect God to answer our prayer? Also, prayer can be very simple and silent. I love the God help me prayer that Nehemiah prayed when he was responding to the king. I think it is part of praying without ceasing that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can silently yell to God for help or just say thanks. God moved the heart of a pagan king to give Nehemiah all that he asked for and even more. God is not limited in any way. We need to pray with the mindset. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he keeps his promises. There are many Bible verses that talk about the value of prayer, but I want to just leave you with these three verses. Maybe you need to hold on to one of these verses for what's happening in your life right now. Thanks, Aaron, if we go to those verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And then lastly, 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Beautiful words, aren't they? So we can come to God and pray, knowing that he will hear us. Even if it's a short, silent, help me right now, God, I need your help. Or whether it's to say thank you or request something. So that's the end of what I wanted to share with you today. I'll just pray. Father God, thank you that you are so gracious and kind to us. You treat us so lovingly and graciously. We can come and talk to you, just share what's on our heart. We can yell out to you in difficult situations, knowing that you will hear us and respond. We thank you that we can pray and know that you hear our prayer and will answer us. We give our thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen.